This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
What up? Welcome back, friends, to Lockdown Universe, home of the bizarre, peculiar, and unheard of stories of UFO legend and paranormal lore. Welcome back. Happy to be back. Hopefully you guys are doing excellent and taking care of yourselves. Today is a day like on any other, really. This story is going to be one that we're going to go far in depth in, and that's why I have my Iron Man hoodie on today. If you want to take a look at it, feel free. I love this thing. Got it for like $5 at Goodwill. So anyway, that's how I roll. I try to save money. But if you like to save money, you can listen to the podcast. So this story is about a man who worked at the Nellis Air Force Base and has all kinds of stories about working with the tall whites, who are really different from the small grays. The tall whites are from Arcturus in the Boots, or the Bootus constellation. Maybe you want to call it Booties. But this story is about Charles Hall. It's a relatively new story to me, but there's lots of books that he's written about it. Memoirs, as well as there's a movie documentary about it. And I'm going to tell you in probably a couple episodes about his experiences at Nellis Air Force Base as a weather observation technician and why he was chosen to be a weather technician during this time. So the title of this podcast is Range 4 Charlie. And you might be asking, okay, well, we're about 2 minutes in and you haven't even mentioned Range 4 Charlie yet. Well, let me tell you about Range 4 Charlie, okay? So Range 4 Charlie is what they initially say is a radioactive horse around that basically haunts the Nellis Air Force Base. Nellis Air Force Base is located down in Nevada, and it is near Indian Springs, where they do a lot of nuclear testing. Now, let me tell you a little bit about James Hall, and then we'll get into who is Range 4 Harry. I'm sorry, did I say Charlie? Range 4 Harry. So Charles James Hall was born in rural Wisconsin, okay, near Madison. If you know where Madison is, southern Wisconsin. Great city, one of the cleanest cities in America. He enlisted in the United States Air Force in June 20, 1964, okay? Now, he graduated at the top of his class. He thought he'd get his pick of station. Not too many people want to be stationed in the desert, okay? Even when I was looking into getting into the military, I didn't want to be stationed in the desert. The recruiting officers were like, oh, don't worry, we have air-conditioned offices and air-conditioned buildings over in Iraq and stuff like that. Well, you know what? You can't sell me on going to the desert, man. So he signed up, and they put him in the Nellis Air Force Base just outside of Las Vegas, if you need a little reference. And he served there for 2 years as a weather observer. Now, it doesn't seem like a very high-titled, interesting position. However, right behind me, I've got the Area 51 right there, is that this position actually allowed him to encounter many extraterrestrials who are working in concert with the government. So, what did he do while being a weather observer? Well, I'll tell you. His job entailed going to these shacks that were located around the Nellis Air Force Base. There were about 8 shacks in 8 different ranges. So him and his buddy, a guy named Sullivan, who was training him, drove him around to these weather shacks, and they had to write down any information gained from the computer systems there, the weather observation instrumentation, and bring it back home. Interestingly enough, while Charles Hall was out and about driving around with Sullivan, Sullivan said, "Hey, we knocked out 4 shacks. I think we're good." And Hall was like, "What the hell are you talking about, man? We got 4 more to go." And Sullivan was like, "Okay, well, I'll take you to 3 of them, but I'm not taking you to Range 4. That's where Range 4 Harry's at. I'm not going out there." And Charles is like, "What the hell are you talking about?" And Sullivan goes on to tell him that there is this horse, this radioactive white horse, that has been known to haunt Range 4, and we don't go out there. We have a weather observation shed there, but all the guys that came before you basically just wrote down bogus numbers, and we brought them back." And Hall's like, "You got to be shitting me. I'm doing my job. That's what I got to do." And that's kind of the way I would be, too. I'd be like, "Dude, I got to do my job. I'm not getting fired for you. So drop me off." So Sullivan does. Sullivan is now becomes a totally different person. He's freaked out. And he brings him there. And he says, "Hey, man, you can go in there. I'm staying in the car. And if I see anything, I'm bolting. And you go in the shed and lock yourself in there. And I will come back and get you," basically with assistance, right? With backup. So Charles is like, "Dude, whatever. I'm going to go do my job." So he goes in there, starts to record, starts gathering information. And then he does see something on the horizon, some white glowing entity. He's like, "What the hell is that?" So he goes out there, and there's what he thought was, he thought he was seeing Range 4 Harry. Right? He thought he saw this glowing horse, but it actually wasn't a horse. It was a humanoid that had like kind of like fur over it, and it turned out to be this kid, and this kid was lost, and he tried to help this kid, but the kid seemed to be a bit disinterested in his help. So Charles said, "Hey, if you need any assistance, if you're looking for any parents or whatever, I'm here to help you. I'm here to take care, you know, I'd be happy to help." So the kid kind of goes about its way. Charles leaves a canteen with water right on the fence post. He says, "Here, have something to drink while you're waiting," or whatever the case is. Goes back to the shed and gathers more intel and information. And he comes back, and he's like, he goes back to the shed, he goes back to the guy's car, and meets Sullivan, and Sullivan's like, "Dude, I don't want to come back out of here again, man. I saw it, I don't want to come back." Meanwhile, Charles continues to come out to Range 4. He comes back, and what does he see next time? He sees this woman, who is tall and white, about 7'8", huge, right? Just a huge being. All white, very slender, and she comes up to Charles, and she says, "Hey, I appreciate what you did for my daughter." It was her daughter. She says, and she was communicating with him telepathically, and he's like, "You're welcome." He's like, "No problem." And she said, "You know, basically, you know, we'll stay in contact. We'll continue to reach out to you, but this is going to be it for now." So little does he know why he's been put out here. So he continues, and I'll come back to this in a moment. I want to give you some more information on Charles. So keep in mind that while he served extensive times at this weather observation base, he also served a year in Vietnam in the Mekong Delta. He received an award for surviving more than 35 communist attacks. A year after he received his honorable discharge in 1968, he married his wife, Marie, and he he stated that he would marry her, but Marie said, you have to go to college. So he goes to college, and he earns a bachelor's degree in thermal physics and a master's degree in applied nuclear physics from San Diego State University. So this is really interesting because so many people started to come out of the woodwork and say,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, Charles is full of junk, da 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 da. Well, guess what? He didn't say anything about his experiences for 18 years. Later, long after he's retired, he's writing his memoirs, quote unquote, and his wife comes in and says, well, what the hell are you doing? He says, well, I've been writing my memoirs for our grandchildren. She said, hold on now. This is really good. Starts reading it. And she knows about his experiences out there at Range 4. And she says, you should publish these. So he does. Publishes his first book. Nobody wants to take it on, so he publishes it himself. It's a massive hit. It goes on to be one of the bestsellers. Now, what he wrote in there is basically half of what happened, right? He has multiple books out about what happened. What's interesting, though, is that he wrote it underneath the science fiction, section, you know, underneath that heading. You know, if you look at books, they have headings, nonfiction, fiction, science fiction, whatever. Wrote it under science fiction. Probably because he had some NDAs that he was under and he couldn't write everything that happened and say it was truth, right? There's a lot of businesses out there that will tell you that you have to represent them in a certain way, and the government's not short of being that either. So I want to go back. Let's go back to the events that happened around Range 4 Harry. So was Range 4 Harry actually a horse that was bombarded by nuclear particles and now was glowing white? Was it this alien daughter that Charles helped? Or was it the 7'8" mother who telepathically communicated with Charles and thanked him for his assistance? So Charles states that he interacted with multiple tall whites while he was out there. The tall whites had a government contract working with the government in developing aerial technology, he stated. He stated that they utilized two different types of ships. One ship is the triangular black ship that's made out of titanium. Now, titanium was found on Earth before the interactions that Charles had with them. However, they utilized titanium in a different way to create their ships. So that's really interesting right there. He stated he witnessed the spacecraft. They hovered silently. They disappeared from sight almost instantaneously. And they have another type of ship, which is the Tic Tac ship, which they utilize to kind of hop around from place to place on Earth. So the triangular ships are more like atmospheric ships or interplanetary ships. And then these Tic Tac ships that were recently seen on some of the videos that were released by the government or released to the Stars Academy and then to the media, was theirs. Now, he goes back and states that these aliens have pale white skin, large blue eyes, and a fine light-colored hair. They're almost akin to the beings that were in Defiance. If you ever saw that show, they were very, very pale. Or the movie Prometheus, where the aliens were seeding the planet, and they were very. It was completely bald, male, six-pack, ripped, super muscular. And what Charles said is that these beings have seeded the planet as well in certain areas like the places you would imagine the tall whites might be, such as snowier areas, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, and then in the northern European areas as well. He states that They have obviously high technology. They communicate with telepathy. But they have a lot of empathy, and they're very similar to humans in their appearance. He said they're so similar to humans in appearance that they could go to Vegas with just a little bit of makeup on and basically blend right in. And he said there's enough weirdos, quote-unquote, down in Vegas to blend right on in. So I thought that was kind of humorous, too. He states that he started to interact with a tall white female, the same one who helped him or communicated with him originally, who was nicknamed the teacher. The teacher seemed to take an interest in Hall himself and guided him in understanding their customs and technology. Interestingly enough, Hall wanted to find out where exactly they were from, but they wouldn't really say, and they said, well, do you know the star systems? Do you know all of them? And he said, no. And they said, well, then why do you need to know, why do you want to know where we're from if you don't know all the star systems? And he didn't really have an answer. But later on, He brought up the Arcturus and the Boots constellations, and they all, he said they got anxious. And so it's kind of interesting because now it becomes a kind of a mystery as to why they would be anxious about him knowing about Arcturus and Boots. Maybe they were from there. And the Arcturians have always been talked about in UFO circles as being these tall white beings. With incredible intelligence, empathy, looking very human, with slight differences. But what's interesting is he noted that they have hair. So many of these beings don't have hair at all. The humanoid-like beings, the human-like beings, they don't have hair at all. But these tall whites did have a very light, thin amount of hair, so they could blend in with society. Wouldn't it be interesting if you came across one? Wouldn't it be interesting if one was playing in the NBA? Wouldn't it be interesting if you just came across somebody who just seemed a little bit not human? You might have encountered a tall white. Hall's claims are basically both fascinating and terrifying. He alleges that the tall whites had their own set of rules and customs, and violating them could lead to severe consequences. So you had to be aware of what their customs were so that you didn't violate them and cause some sort of intergalactic war or skirmish. He recounts an incident where he accidentally frightened one of the tall whites and was almost killed as a result. Now, if you remember, Phil Schneider, he was a consultant and a builder and a construction site worker, and he was building tunnels. Using like the tunnel boring machines and stuff like that back in the 70s and 80s. And he said that when he was boring down there and he was, they were making tunnels, that he actually, while rappelling on a rope, actually came across two tall whites who utilized a weapon on him. He had a weapon on him too. And they basically just used like a pen-like device to shoot a laser at him. And he stated they also had some sort of like circular device on their chest, and they were able to shoot out at him and basically burn off like two of his fingers. Every time you see him in videos, he's got like two fingers on one hand and like three fingers on another. And he's got like a big old scar on his chest and everything like that. He's dead now. But the tall whites are known to be armed. They are armed. I mean, they are amongst us crazy, you know, primates down here. So it makes sense for them to be armed. So if you frighten them, they will attack. And it makes sense, too, because, I mean, if you think about just history in general, history is violent. Colonization is violent. These tall whites, if they came down and colonized any part of the planet, you know, a lot of times colonization is violent. You have to take people out in order to colonize. It becomes challenging. So going back to Range 4 Harry, another aspect of Charles' story is that this testing ground, right, the Nellis Air Force Base complex, is really shrouded in secrecy. There's so many nuclear blasts that have gone off in that area, and aliens don't like nuclear blasts because they tear up the space-time continuum fabric of the space itself, and they're pissed at us for doing it, and they stop us from proliferating nukes and blasting them off. But back in the day, we just did it. We just, until we made a treaty, right? So what happens down there is kind of like this big Bermuda Triangle of crazy extraterrestrial events where really strange sightings happen, different rifts in space and time happen. You think about Sedona, Arizona, you think about Nellis Air Force Base, you think about all these southwestern areas that have really bizarre events happening. And they often link it to not only the nuclear blasts, but also the technology that the Tall Whites have. The Tall Whites have a lot of technology that do bend space and time, including their own craft. So Hall recounted one incident where he was sent to monitor conditions, and he witnessed strange lights and sounds. He believed that it was related to alien technology or secret experiments. There was also strange disappearances, unexplained movements, a pervasive sense of foreboding or concern. He stated when he met the tall female, the teacher, that he had this overwhelming sense of peace, calm, and tranquility about him when he was talking to her, when they were communicating telepathically. She was giving him information about how she would watch over him, how she would bring peace to him. She would inform him of their cultures and their traditions and a little bit about their history. And he got this overwhelming sense of peace. After she left, he stated that immediately this sense of foreboding came over him again, almost as if the environment itself was just foreboding and had this sense, natural sense of just eeriness. And we can, akin that to like the Skinwalker Ranch, where people walk into those places and they're already feeling creepy and strange and having these kind of like negative energies, Kind of like if you walk into like an old abandoned prison or something like that, you have all these negative energies of spaces and times gone by. And that's exactly what I think he was experiencing while he was at Nellis, because a lot of things probably have happened down there, including and not limited to different bases that have worked on, basically hybridizing people, and places like Nightmare Hall and Dulce Base and places like this. Now, Charles Hall's story is undoubtedly one of the most controversial stories in the UFO world. However, there's lots of information to back it up. We're going to get into that briefly here, and then in the next podcast, we're going to get a little bit more detailed in his story and what he talked about with the teacher, what she showed him, what she gave to him, and what he found out about his placement at Nellis. So I'll wrap up this with the fact that Charles was people doing their due diligence did do research on Charles. They found out that he was in the military. He was based in Nellis. He was a weather observer. He did go to Vietnam. He did come back. And these are easily verifiable through public records. So it's not like he was in a secret compartmentalized black ops type of operation or program. He was in the military, and all those records are online. My dad was in Vietnam. I can go look him up. You can look up your parents, you can look up your grandparents, you can see their military records. So, this stuff is verifiable. So what did he find out while he was there? What information was gleaned to him from the child, from the mother, and from other tall whites that were down there in Nellis? And what did he find out in Vietnam while he was there for a year? When he came back, did the government start to give him a hard time and start to pummel him because he was starting to, talk to his wife about this and tell her about these strange, bizarre events that were going on down there? Keep in mind, you have to sign, non-disclosure agreements, NDA, when you're in these top secret programs, or at least, have a top secret clearance. And he was breaking that. He was talking to his family. You're not supposed to do that. So we'll find out what information was gleaned and whether or not the government came down on him in the next episode. So I hope you stay tuned, because it's really going to get good. And I think you'll really enjoy this. And this is one of the very few individuals who has a lot of information to give, especially since he wrote multiple books on it. And we just don't find these kinds of individuals on a regular basis. So we really want to dig deep, gather as much detail for you, and provide it for you for the next podcast. So hopefully I give you a good introduction as to who Charles Hall was and is, who and what Range 4 Harry was, the Tall Whites. And I got to tell you, you know, I've watched a couple interviews with him, and Charles Hall is very believable. He's a very peaceful man. And I think what we're going to find out in the next podcast is how peaceful he became and why he is peaceful today. And hopefully that will have a bigger impact on us as a listenership and as a community here at Lockdown. And we'll be able to gain some earthly knowledge as well, how we can apply this on earth, these lessons and these stories. So stay tuned for the next podcast. I'll be bringing it to you shortly. All right, take care of yourselves. Follow through, you know, take care of yourselves spiritually, physically, emotionally. Follow through on your hobbies and your goals and your dreams. And as always, continue to question the universe around you. Do whatever makes you happy. You know, life's really short, man, really short. Just have fun with it while you can. And continue to question the universe around you. Please like, follow, share, subscribe. It really helps out. Just listen. That helps too. We'll catch up with you next time. Locked On Universe out. Peace.